Hello, universe! Welcome to the first...
Welcome to Life as a Melody with Patricia Danielli and Rich Greenwood. Each week, we will feature inside information about the music business, the creative process, and marketing and technology that helps connect fans with music. Drawing on more than 20 years of music training and performance experience, Patricia Danielli will share details about her musical career, her original music, and the creative process for how songs happen. As a virtuoso who both sings and plays many instruments and has experience that ranges from performing at Carnegie Hall to the Caribbean in Europe, Patricia has much to share as a composer, performer, and producer. Rich Greenwood, who as a journalist, marketing writer, photographer, and videographer, has worked with some of the most powerful brands on earth, including Apple, Google, B of A, Pizza Hut, and more. Rich and Patricia will talk about how they are building Patricia's brand in the music industry and how you can use these tools to further your business and music careers. Each week, Patricia and Rich will interview music and business experts on what works and why. Each week will be an example of how life as a melody is played.
So welcome to the show, folks. Here we are, episode 3, and we are so happy to have you here, and we're happy to be with you. This show, Life as a Melody, is all about the music business, and we are dedicated to making it useful for you. There's going to be a lot of great stuff on the show today, including fashion notes, some music news, some useful news about branding, our special guest, Ralph Riekerman, do's and don'ts, and other callers will be on the phone, too. Patricia, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. That's right. We have an exciting show planned. I want you guys to call in and especially let me know how you feel. I have a question of the week for you today. So that number is 914-338-1303. Here's the question of the week.
Question of the week.
I want to know, what is your favorite album from the 90s? And if you call in at 914-338-1303, we'll have you at the end of the show, and you'll talk about it.
Well, Trisha, that's fantastic. And, folks, if you just heard that, that is a new feature on the show that Trisha put together today, and congratulations for that. We're going to have a little some little sound bumpers that she put together, like the question of the week, which I won't sing because it will completely erase that wonderful sound from your brain. So do call in about that question of the week. Again, the number is 914-338. What is it? 1303.
Okay.
Yay. All right, so let's dive into the show. We're going to talk a little bit about about fashion.
Fashion notes. That's right. We know it's important.
Fashion is all important, and today we're talking about fashion at a specific recent event. What's the recent event we're going to be talking about?
The Golden Globes. That's what it is.
The Golden Globes, and folks, when we're talking about Golden Globes, we're not talking about a particular kind of orange. This is an award show that buttresses the Oscars, and there was some amazing fashion on the runway at the Golden Globes. Trisha, you want to give some thoughts on what you saw?
Sure, yeah. I think some things definitely worked, and everybody knew about it. In my opinion, there was some best dress. Two of them that stuck out in my mind. Lupita Nyong'o, the 12 Years a Slave star, she really had it all together, looking elegant with that gown, with the cape thing. And, man, it was interesting because that night there was a sprinkler that broke and drenched the red carpet, you know. Everyone had to walk around this little puddle. Of course, I've seen much worse weather than that over here in Chicago, but they freaked out a little bit in Hollywood, so that was kind of hilarious. And it didn't wreck anybody's look. I mean, and Olivia Wilde, you know, she's pregnant. You'd never even really know. She wore this green Gucci gown. You know, it was really hot. I would definitely wear something like that. I was, like, super, you know, covered, you know, and it did the job. So.
Well, let me play off that for 1 second with Olivia Wilde, because that's a very interesting note. I mean, she did look fantastic, and it brings up an interesting point, which is, you know, everybody that is listening to the show right now, you have your own look. You have your own situation. You have your own physical realities. And one of the things that's really important, right, Tricia, is for each of us to dress appropriately for, you know, what we're shaped like now. If we're pregnant, if we're small, we're big,
right,
whatever it is, we need to make sure that our look reflects who we really are, right?
Right, absolutely. Got to be comfortable, you know, but, like, not too comfortable to where you're, like, slouching over. I mean, I think there was this one chick in a yellow dress or whatever. She looked like she was, like, I sit on my couch. You know what I mean? Like, just all the way down, like, slumping. I mean, that was not a good look if you're on the red carpet. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. You could be wearing a paper bag, but you do not slouch like that. You know, it just doesn't help you out, no matter what shape, size.
So you're talking about posture, right?
Definitely. Posture is super important. Yeah, no slouchy.
You know, I want to compliment you on that, actually. You know, as many of you know, Tricia has a number of different modalities that she operates in, including being a professional model. And that's actually how we met at a show for West Coast Leather. And one of the things that I was really impressed by when we were working together and I was looking at the pictures later is in every one of them, your posture is right on point. And it's interesting because there were some other people there. Maybe they were new models. Maybe they weren't very experienced. But because they were slouching, they looked terrific. Makeup looked terrific. Hair looked terrific. Dress looked terrific. But because of their posture, it wasn't flattering.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, it makes all the difference. You know, it's kind of that line about, you know, you wear the clothes. You don't let the clothes wear you. You know, you have to project something. You know, when you model, it's about your relationship with the camera and what you're modeling, the product. And you can't do a decent job of that if you're not even, you know, standing up straight and stuff like that.
I'm with you. And in fact, one of my favorites on the red carpet at the Golden Globes was Sofia Vergara wearing his Zac Posen dress, and it was a beautiful, elegant dress. And one of the things that Sofia has dealt with her whole life is she's a curvy girl, right? And one of the things I love about her is she doesn't hide her curves, but she also dresses in a way that's classy, sexy, and reflects her as a person. And folks, when you're on stage, when you're out in public, one of the things that you've got to really be aware of is we do judge books by their covers. So like Tricia's saying, you don't want to be so comfortable you're slouchy or you're all bagged out or sagged out. You want to make sure that you're presenting yourself the best every day, right?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely. And if you want, you know, an example of posture poses, you can check out the Blog Talk Show page. And I think there's maybe an older pic of me with a pink dress on a piano. You know, and it's just kind of that thing, like, you know, in order to nail something, you have to pose, you have to have posture. So check it out. I'll have new, you know, new or old stuff every week. So we'll
nice.
Go from there.
Nice. And again, the fan page is facebook.com/lifeisamelody. Please go friend us and, you know, participate on the page. When you see a post you like, not just like it, but tell us what you're thinking. And there's a contact us button, too. We want to hear from you. If you want to tell your story or reflect on one of our stories, we want to hear about that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that wraps it up with Fashion Notes, unless there was anything that you wanted to mention, Tricia.
That's pretty good for me. I just, you know, I really... I want to share maybe a do in a, you know, every week, and this one is posture. We'll keep giving you more tips on that, you know, so stay
right
with us the upcoming weeks.
So definitely do is a posture. Well, let's get one don't in there. When you're experienced in modeling, what's an easy don't to do in terms of fashion?
I don't. Well, I mean, don't overdo jewelry and stuff like that. I mean, and tattoos, I mean, that can be a tough thing. You know, you want to try to not have them everywhere. And like, keeping it simple, and I think that's what made Lupita Nyong'o look so good, so classy, because she just kept it to the earrings and the very simple, you know, jewelry and accessories. So don't overdo
it. Wow. All right, so that's some useful stuff. So are we ready to move into music news?
Yes, we are.
All right, beautiful.
I believe so. Actually, I got to tell you one more thing. This just popped up in my mind. Please don't wear colors that clash on the red carpet. I don't understand that. I mean, you know it's red. It's called the red carpet. You know what I mean? Don't be looking
don't
like
do that,
Big Bird. Kid. Don't be trying to be some, you know, off red carpet red. I mean, don't have makeup on your teeth. That's not in style yet. I've been waiting for a while with that one, and that's not in. So don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Thank you.
All right. So if you guys are going to be on a red carpet soon, please take notes on that stuff. Have it on a little card in your pocket, and check your teeth. Right on.
Yeah, please.
All right. So what's going on in the world of music this week, Trisha?
You know, there's always – well, actually, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and
Let's
we will come
it.
Back because there's always music news happening. So when
All
we come
right.
back, we'll hit you with that.
That sounds great.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
Since 2003, Skip Pass, design director of West Coast Leather, has been creating beautiful new leather collections. Working with television, movies, and magazine features, Skip is the designer to the stars for leather fashion today. West Coast Leather selects only the highest grade of leather. This ensures that each piece of clothing feels as soft as silk to the touch, is light to wear and move about, and durable enough to last a lifetime. This is one of the key reasons why West Coast Leather is known for the finest quality leather clothing in the world. West Coast Leather creates new collections each season and continues to push the envelope on leather design, from sexy corsetry to military styles and riding jackets, raw edge washed leather with exotic inlays, eco-friendly leathers, as well as the inclusion of amazing silver hardware. There is no limit to where West Coast Leather can take leather design. To get your leather fix for 2014, go to westcoastleather.com or visit them in San Francisco at 290 Sutter Street or 400 Castro Street, or call 415-362-8300.
Well, welcome back, and what a lovely little crowd sound that we've got. Kind of hard to hear the fans on the radio, but there you go. That's very impressive.
That's great. Now for our music news. So we got things happening all the time. We're just going to hit a few of these topics, take a look at some of these things going on. Looks like we got the Red Hot Chili Peppers performing at the Super Bowl. What do you all think of that?
Pretty interesting stuff. You know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing, and you know they're kind of old school, and they're playing with Bruno Mars. Now, if you had to choose between listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Bruno Mars, which one would you choose, Trisha?
Oh man, you can't do that to me. I like them both. I would actually.
Yeah.
I'm happy that they're both doing it this year. You know, I think they're changing it up. You know, last year we had Beyonce, and we had it seems like we always get those diva chicks, and it's nice to just change it up. you know, with a great, you know, band that we may have not, you know, heard in a minute, or, you know, or somebody else. Bruno Mars is fantastic. I mean, yeah.
And they probably do that with Red Hot Chili Peppers and Bruno Mars to get both sets of audiences. You know, the young folks and, you know, old folks like me, you know, just get them both enjoying what's going on. And the Super Bowl always is kind of a spectacle. And from my experience, I don't know how you feel about this, from my experience, it's always just a little bit of a letdown because they pump it up so much, it's like it's going to change the planet as it is. But I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Well, you know, it's a big deal. I think it's a pretty big deal. Sometimes it does change the planet, you know. if there's a major wardrobe malfunction or something like that. I mean, you know, sometimes these things get talked about way more than major events. So
that's very true. And watch that on the red carpet too, folks. Don't be pulling parts of your clothes off on the red carpet. All right. And then how about the you know, one of the things that we talked about before the show was Beyonce's recent essay, and you felt pretty strongly about that. Tell us a little bit about what you were reading.
I love this. This is a great piece that she wrote. It's titled "Gender Equality is a Myth." It's a myth. We need to stop buying into the myth about gender equality, she says. It isn't a reality yet. Today, women make up half of the U.S. workforce, but the average working woman earns only 77% of what the average working man makes. Blah, 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 blah. She goes into that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm interested in it because I feel a lot about these types of issues. And I love to have strong, you know, female, you know, a strong female leader just voicing this.
Right on.
So I think it
should be addressed. Would you recommend that people go check out that essay and read it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's a feminist essay on gender inequality in the workplace. Gender equality is a myth. You can look it up. It's really great. Also, you know, American Idol season 13 has a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot of changes.
Yeah, they've had ratings falling for the past couple of years or so. They've got shorter episodes. They're trying to get rid of the crazy, crazy contestants. And they have a new judge, Harry Connick Jr., in the lineup. So,
I think those are all good changes. You know, I used to watch American Idol every year, and the wacky contestants, I knew that they were including them to make the show more interesting, but honestly, you know, they don't know that they seem ridiculous, and I don't know how their lives were changed for the worse, but I imagine at least some of them, you know, endured some problems, and they were just being sincere, but they just happen to be a little weird, so that's good that they're not including that, right?
Sure. I mean, I think we'll see how this goes. It's been around for 13 years. I mean, the show just, you know, it kind of changed things, you know. It really did. And we'll see how this works out. And other news, Justin Bieber, I know, it's like everybody always talks about him. Man,
what's
this kid is crazy.
Justin?
He's, you know, found with cocaine. He's possibly getting felony charges. I mean, every time I hear about it, I just kind of think, my personal opinion, maybe some people are a little too young to be these kind of, like, leaders and role models, you know. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's senseless. It's kind of, you know, it's like just this big mess. So
it is. People need to get control of their lives, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, they're so young. He's so young. His fans are so young. And I don't know. It's just kind of like, can't we have, I mean, maybe we should wait until people are a little more mature and, I don't know. I mean, nobody's perfect at all, but, I mean, and I'm not really giving them a hard time. I just think that we let people become leaders of our youngest generation, you know, so quick.
Right.
But you know, you can call in voice about that too. We're going to move on. We're going to get to our branding info with Rich.
All right. So thanks for that input. And again, if you folks want to participate, we invite you to be part of our show. And you can be a part of our show in a number of ways. You can participate with our fan page, and like Tricia just said, you can call in. And once again, the number is 914-338-1303. Right now, we're going to be talking to a great friend of mine, an expert in branding, marketing, SEO, a number of different things in terms of moving the ball forward with your branding. But he has a very unique experience. Jerry Hart is both a family member who's in the music business, and he was a very successful radio show host for many years. Jerry, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, guys. Nice to be here.
And it is really good to be talking with you this morning. And thank you so much for making time for this. And Jerry, tell us a little bit about how your experience working with, you know, a number of different radio music artists has informed you in your marketing and branding business.
Wow, how it's informed me. That's a great word to choose, because getting informed by musicians is pretty psychedelic. The music industry overall, I mean, look at the revolution going on online. I mean, it is radical, right? I mean, look at iTunes and how Beyonce, you were just talking about her, how she released her her new music without any tape, right? It was all digital. First ever to make those kind of massive worldwide records on iTunes. So it's a whole different world now, right, of transparency in marketing. You can run, but you can't hide, meaning you got to really show up as the real deal and a true personality and an influencer, somebody that puts their name on their message and says, I am the authority of this industry, this type of music, this genre. So you're specifically, when you talk about the music industry, artists today, I think, have to really become a personality beyond just their glass tower music, you know, where they just run around, do their concerts and get protected by their guards and avoid the paparazzi and interviews. But I think the winners are going to be the ones that are willing to be active in the conversation online. You know, and you see how it gets them in trouble, too. I mean, look at some of these people on Twitter that destroy their career in seconds. It's just unbelievable. So that's my takeaway, is how exciting to be now in a marketing world where you really feel the soul of a brand. It's not just a clever tagline and a simple slogan and a bunch of, you know, a weak copy on a website or an artist that thinks they can just, you know, not touch their people. Wrong. It's really changed, hasn't it? You better show up, and you better say you're the authority, or you're going to get beat up by your competition.
Wow. Powerful.
So, Tricia, you know, what's one of your takeaways from what Jerry was just talking about in terms of the branding that we're working on?
I think it fits into kind of our plan as far as, you know, building a whole character. It's not just the music that I want to, you know, be talking about and doing and putting out there. It's this whole bunch of other things, you know, the comedy and it's the modeling, it's the writing, all of that stuff. Because, you know, you build a brand when you're putting yourself out there, and, you know, that whole brand has to, like, be in sync. I think it's just kind of what he's saying, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really, really appreciate a lot of what he was saying.
Yeah, it's going to separate I hate to say winners from losers, but, you know, men from the boys, women from the girls. It will really separate us for those that that are willing to be strategic and be consistent. You know, be a master of the mundane, when it comes to social marketing and really having a message at the core. What is your music? What is your message? What is your purpose? And then repurposing that content all over the web. And is it strategic? For example, I have a company I'm working with that has asked me to identify bloggers in the music industry and unify them all at one time, 30 of them. Identify them and get them all on the same page on how they're going to discuss the release of this new musical, we'll call it the musical package, the next generation, the next CD. That's kind of the next, that's the enterprise level, right? You've got an independent level. I'm a solo artist. I go around and do my gigs, and I'm an independent. That's great too, right? Get out there and build your campfire of followers. Find your advocates. Make sure they proselytize for you. That's your marketing peaks right there. But then when you're at the higher level, meaning enterprise, say the Beyonce level, these kind of people are out there finding all those other folks I just talked about that were willing to say, you know what, I'm going to show up consistently. I'm going to be the master of the mundane. I'm going to, you know, continue to be the voice, the authority of music. Well, I go after those bloggers, much like you guys, and have all of you at the same time strategically understanding the music, giving us your feedback on the music, and making sure that when we do launch, that everybody, all the bloggers are very content with the music and the way in which we're releasing it, and so that everybody's very unified. Does that mean everybody's going to praise the artist and blow smoke up their you-know-what? No. There's going to be some negative in there, and that balances it all, but at least we have a very unified outreach program where the artist can trust that, you know, when this thing's released, we at least have the biggest blogging authorities in the market that are talking mostly positively to their campfire of followers, those blogger followers of that blogger. They're really pumped up. And what are they doing? They're telling all their friends. And it just goes on. And that's what, when we say viral explosion, that's what we mean, because that word is tossed around quite a bit.
Amen. And Jerry, thank you again so much for taking some of your valuable time to share that important insight with us. And again, if people want to find out more about you, what should they do, Jerry?
Go to Moyo Marketing, moyomarketing.com.
Moyomarketing.com. Jerry, thanks again for being on the show. And now we are going to talk about do's and don'ts for a second. We're waiting. We've got another special caller that's going to be joining us in a second. So let's talk about do's and don'ts for just one second. Trisha, what do you think?
All right. We're going to talk about mastering an audition right now. Mastering an audition. So do's and don'ts. We like to do this every week and give everyone a real quick tip. What's one thing you do, Rich?
One thing that you want to make sure that you do in an audition is engage the person that you're auditioning with, engage them with your eyes. I was recently in an audition, and most of the people that were, there were 10 people in the audition room, and most of the people that were in the audition room, they had their eyes closed pretty much the whole time, and that's not a good thing.
Definitely not. Okay. And I would say along with that is be clear, definitely look at your judges, relate to them. You have to relate to them. There's no other way. And a really quick don't. Let's talk about that.
A really quick don't is something that I screwed up on really badly in the last audition. Instead of going with a song that I knew like the back of my hand, I went with a song that I learned that day, and I did okay. But it was not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, definitely do something that you know, like you know.
Yes,
because
indeed.
You get in there, and sometimes it feels like there's no oxygen in the room, and you got to do it anyway. So,
beautiful.
Don't just pick a new song, and I would say do not be cocky. I mean, everybody hates that, you know. Don't do it, you know. Just show some kind of humbleness and get through it. Good luck to everyone auditioning for whatever it is out there. You have to do it. It builds you, and it builds your character and your experience. We're going to move along
that's
now.
That's really important.
Yeah.
That's really, really important to build your character. And speaking of which, you know, we've both been through a couple of auditions, and one of the things that I love about your attitude, both before an audition and after, is you seem to always see it as a learning experience rather than an end-all, be-all kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. You know, you have to do them. You know, you have to get that experience, and they'll become less and less nerve-wracking, and, you know, someday you just may get the part. So I say definitely do them. But we have to move along right now. We're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to start bringing our guests on. So get ready.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening, and let's sell some stuff, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to some people.
Cool.
Frank Orozco is the founder of the unique tequila event Agave 52. He and his team have more than 25 years of combined experience in the wine, food, travel, fashion, and nightlife industries throughout California. The main goal of Agave 52 is to bring the next generation of tequila drinkers together with the experienced tequila enthusiasts in a stylish, urban atmosphere while educating them on the many different complexities of premium tequilas. This concept, along with an abundant selection of ultra-premium tequila choices, makes for an event you will not want to miss. To find out about the next Agave 52 event in your area, go to agave52.com. That's agave52.com.
CEO, yes, CEO, yes, CEO. All my life about that CEO. I'm gonna grow, everybody gotta know how the money becomes dome. Now we sitting top flow. That's right, that's me, I don't care what you see. Call me the cook, I make that bread, chef boy, y'all D, please. You see me? I don't see these in respect. The ones that pointing fingers at the freak. The kids are always doing whatever they want. Mac Miller is one of those who always talk. You talk, I talk, try, now I never stop. Cause I'm running from the cops, now red that shot.
Cool.
All right.
You are listening to a CEO and an artist as well. He has a music video out. He's doing it the easy way. And by that I mean easy way broadcasting. And he has a unique story of teen self-esteem. I'd like to welcome to the show Ed Linger, CEO.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. It's great to be meeting you and have you on.
Yeah, likewise.
Cool.
Well, Edgar, you have a totally inspirational story. We want to feature you maybe next week or at least in the next couple of weeks as a featured guest. And, you know, we got a cram show today, so we only have a few minutes. But in just a few minutes, we'd love to have you share with us, some of the amazing things that you've been doing and that your mission with your music.
Yeah. Okay, so how it all started was I was going to commit suicide and I ended up turning to music, becoming an artist, and my goal was to save lives. And I put out a mixtape and I got so much hate from it, like it was cyberbullying to the max, and it just put me down even lower. And then people started tweeting at me and, like, direct messaging me and emailing me and saying, hey, you saved my life with your song. And I was like, wow, like, that is amazing. Like, my dream is already fulfilled off my first mixtape. And so people asked me, how do you get through depression? How do you get through all this? Like, how did you do it? And for me, I say find an outlet and find your passion and just always, like, go to that outlet no matter what. And also be grateful for what you have, because, like, there's homeless people on the streets that don't even have houses or food or anything, but you may have that house, you may have that food, you may have that amazing family, even friends, but you feel alone inside, but you still have so much because you're only focusing on the negatives of life. So I would say the key to getting out of the depression and really becoming happy is just be super grateful for everything that you have.
Yes. Wow. That's amazing. I actually got chills when I, you know, heard about your story. They told me a little bit about, you know, you've saved some lives. I mean, you saved your own life, which is, like, incredibly amazing, and then, you know, go on to save others. And I'm just really touched. I can't wait to have you on again in more detail, sharing your story, sharing your music, which is great. And thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Cool. Me too. It's going to be a bright future, man.
Yes.
You know, they say you got to go through a lot of darkness to get to the light. I think that's really true in a lot of cases.
Yes, definitely.
You know. Cool. Thank you for dropping that story on us. We're going to have him talk more in the future. And I'm also going to introduce our special guest of the week. Very excited to introduce Ralph Reicherman, www.ralphreicherman.com. He's a rock star. He's a composer and producer. He talks about his experiences as a bass player and songwriter with the Scorpions and working with some of the top music and film people in the world. His global success began in 1991 when he joined the world-famous rock band The Scorpions as a new bass player. During his 12-year career as a member of The Scorpions, he recorded 8 gold and platinum awarded albums, sold millions of copies all over the world, and toured the world 6 times. His knowledge of music and composition and wide range of talents and tools allow him to create scores for any film, style, and genre. So we're very excited to have him on. We did an interview actually last night. It's as he's a nocturnal person, we had to kind of knock it out on his hours. So we're gonna play that for you right now. I'm glad I could be interview number 10,522 tonight. So let's get started. So you played in one of the biggest bands ever and played for a lot of people. Like, I don't know, what's the most, 20,000, something like that, more? I don't know, a lot of people. What's it like performing for that many people?
You want to know what the biggest show is I ever performed?
Yeah.
750,000.
750,000. That's a
yep.
Huge, I can't even think that high.
And it was all girls, too.
And it's all girls. That's every girl on this planet. That's
really?
A lot.
Do you even have a close idea how many people there are on this planet right now?
Yeah, but well, I'm not very good at math, but I mean, you know,
it has nothing to do with math. It's a simple number. How many people are on this earth right now? How many?
I mean, I would say 7 billion, but I think there might be closer to 8 billion if you count the aliens that people don't really talk about. But anyway, back to your 750,000 all the women in the planet, how would you describe what it's like in one word playing for that many people?
It was cold and drizzling.
Cold and drizzling?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
And you couldn't really see the people because the crowd was about like, you know, the snake pit was about like a quarter of a mile long. So the first people were like at least maybe 50 to 100 meters away from the stage.
Wow.
So it wasn't really like playing in front of people. It was just playing in front of a ocean of whatever, faces, heads, people, girls in this case. I don't know. It wasn't colder than Krakow.
Wow.
On an AF field.
That's cool.
It was really cool because it was freezing cold and it was drizzling and it was windy. So cool would actually pretty much describe it to the point.
It was nice and cold up there. I also saw that you wrote one of the Scorpions' biggest hits. And then you got into, wait, what's that noise? It sounds like a rattlesnake.
I'm trying to open this damn crisp bar and it won't open. And it's really pissing me off because I'm starving. Okay, it's open now.
That's a terrible, frustrating situation.
The reason why I'm pissed off is because I started working on this movie, a feature film with Andy Garcia and Sharon Stone starring in it. And we're working with two composers on it, and we were supposed to start working at my studio today at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, Los Angeles time. And we were supposed to start about a week ago, but when the guy got to town, he's funny enough, he's actually from Poland, like the 750,000 people concert that happened in Poland in Krakow. And he flew in about a week ago, but had the flu. So every day has been like the next day, the next day, the next day. And today they decided to do more editing instead of, you know, writing at my studio. And for me, that's kind of frustrating because it's been a week now. Every day we've been postponing this. And basically for me, you know, I'm just sitting around here twisting thumbs. And then I was trying to put, because as probably everybody already knows out there, I just bought a new house. And I finally got it furnished, and I got all my guitars from Europe, because they used to be all my Scorpions basses and guitars, they were all stored in the Scorpions. We have like a big, like a big hall. It's like a few miles long, a few miles, whatever. It's like thousands of amplifier stages. I mean, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of guitars, basses, drum sets, you name it, everything. And they were stored there for many years, and they finally arrived. So I was trying to put them up on the wall, and that didn't go too well.
It's frustrating when you want to work on something and you can't, especially if it's something creative. And hunger, that's just another issue. That is one major issue, actually.
That is usually my biggest issue.
Man, me too. I don't know what it is. It's like I seem to get hungry no matter how many times a day I eat. I still need more. It's crazy. You know, and I'm not like, I'm the worst Italian in the world because I don't cook like the rest of my family. I mean, I'll make a little bit. You know, I make pasta pretty decent and stuff, but in dessert.
So this is one of my favorite interviews so far because, like I said, I can just sit here and eat and listen to you, like, talk about your life.
You know, number 10,522 should be different, you know, should be memorable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just changing it up for you. I want to ask you about that really heavy award that you threw at my arm one night.
What?
What was that for?
What?
Oh, you know that you know, award in your studio that you threw at my arm once?
What did I do with it?
Well, you tried to give me a bruise, but I'm a really tough chick, so I don't bruise. But you threw it.
What do you mean I tried to give you a bruise?
Really,
well, why would I put it on your arm? That makes no sense.
I don't know. And you really threw me off there.
The thing is, it has the exact same shape. As a matter of fact, it's almost the same statue as the Oscar, and it's from the New York Film Festival. I think it was 2 years ago that I received that.
Okay, so New York Film Festival. That's cool enough for me. I was just curious what that was. I mean, if I got a bruise, I'd be able to look at the shape of the bruise and maybe figure out what it was, but... You just told me enough.
You can just look on the internet. There's pictures about it.
What film was that for?
What?
What film was that for?
That was the film The Last Gamble. It's a drama with Stephen Bauer from Scarface starring in it and a bunch of other people that usually play in all the mobster films, like Italians, like yourself. But I think these guys can actually cook.
Great.
So, and they're really rough looking. You know, their faces look kind of like pizza faces. Yeah, and then it was for the drama, and they flew my ass out to New York, and I stayed there for a few days and did the whole red carpet event and the showing of the movie. What's it called? New York Film Festival, yeah. They did it right on Times Square. There was a lot of people there, actually. And then, yeah, I got that award, and that was it, and I flew back.
Cool. Well,
now every time someone comes to my studio, and the later it gets, the more it turns into a weapon.
Yeah, watch out. He's dangerous. So while we're on that subject, let me just change the subject to what else do you like to do? Like, you know, creatively, or is there another kind of art form that you like to do? You're pretty tall. You like to play basketball.
Yeah, I love to hang up guitars on the wall. Apparently, I hit two studs, one last night and one about an hour ago. I was using this electronic stuff searcher, or whatever the hell it's called, and it didn't work.
Now, I thought it was a good thing when you hit a stud.
Now I got a bunch of holes in the wall and no guitars hanging there.
But yeah, what else do you like to do? I mean, do you paint? Do you draw? You know, do you play sports? What's your other, like, non-musical hobby?
I drink a lot of water.
That's great. So into that.
In the evening, usually I drink like my coconut juice. Right now I'm peeling a banana. I live a zen lifestyle. Whatever I do, like, I try to enjoy the moment. Right now I'm about to bite into this banana, which again reminds me of my award, kind of, you know. Did you know that the top of a banana tip is supposed to be poisonous and not supposed to be eaten?
Oh, come on now. That's the best part.
Well, maybe for you, but it's not what you use it for. It's not supposed to be eaten. Even the monkeys in the jungle. No, I'm not kidding. This is education 101 now. Even the monkeys in the jungle, they don't eat the tip at the end because there's supposed to be poison in there.
I can't even. Are you serious? I mean, where did
you
learn that?
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
Hmm.
I don't know. I learned it on some kind of a Lufthansa flight.
I don't know about that. That's pretty much my favorite
part.
Favorite
part. What do you mean your favorite? It tastes the same like everything else. Why is it your favorite part?
It's a little bit sweeter, actually.
Yeah, that's the poison.
I like poison, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, next question. We're running out of time here.
All right, we got one more question because we're about to run out of time.
I just said that.
Okay, so we know you like eating bananas in your spare time. You like drinking water. We just learned that bananas are poisonous. I think scorpions are poisonous, too. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty damn sure.
The small ones are.
Here we go again. Those are my favorite ones. What's up with that?
Really? I thought you liked bigger things.
Yes, I love big ideas. I love
You just like the idea of big.
Piles of money. Big ice cream
money.
Going. All right. It's all good. So what is your favorite place that you've ever played at?
Oh, these interview questions, they're so weird. Anyways, my favorite place, I don't know if I have a favorite place. I don't have a favorite place to live or to be either. I think, God, I want to know, you know what I really want to know is how many times I've said what I'm about to say. Okay, I'm going to say it again. There's no such thing as a favorite place, but it is all up to the people that you're with or people you're surrounded with and the situation, your moment in, and what kind of a mood you're in. It doesn't really matter where you are. What matters is who you're with.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome answer.
Yeah, I said the same thing at least 1,000 times.
Wow, 1,001 times now. I'm honored again. Thank you.
Spread the word.
How about one more? How about advice for other, you know, up and coming and aspiring musicians?
Follow your dreams. Stop smoking more weed. Don't do it for the wrong reason. Don't do it for the reasons of becoming successful, rich, or famous. It won't work. If you're passionate about it, you know, do whatever you feel is makes you happy, whether it's music, writing books, doing porn, or whatever the hell you have in your mind. It doesn't really matter as long as you have a creative outlet and it satisfies you and it is really what you want to do. But, you know, if you make music, be careful, you know, not to jump into conclusions that it will, you know, pay your bills, because these days it's not that easy to make a fair living. I'm not talking about getting wealthy or famous. I'm talking about actually surviving as a musician, because some musicians here in Los Angeles that I know that are really talented and that used to be quite famous, they sometimes get paid less than the person that works at McDonald's, and that's not even a joke. They sometimes play in places, you know, like yesterday my sister performed in, like, just for fun, and didn't get paid anything, and when she plays Rod Stewart, you know, they make like thousands of dollars every night. But music has changed, you know, the internet, the whole wireless communication makes things very easy accessible and very easy to share. So the artist actually doesn't get, you know, anything out of it. And that was not like that when I started. And it's not necessarily frustrating, it's a change, but it's, you know, it's something to keep in mind, because when I started, you know, musicians actually, you know, got at least a fair share of pay for what they did. I mean, in order to become a musician that actually is able to satisfy a crowd, you somewhat have to dedicate your life, at least for, like, I don't know. I mean, some people can do it in a year or two. Some people takes a lifetime. Some people never make it. I'm talking about mastering your instrument or, like, becoming really good so that you can actually be on stage and mesmerize people. So, I mean, I practiced like for 10, 15 years on a daily basis, 6 to 8 hours before I got my break. Probably even more. I started when I was 8. I wasn't really taking it serious. And I started taking it serious when I was 15. And I got my break in 91. I mean, that's when I joined the band. But even before that, I mean, I was making music in Germany, and, you know, I mean, we were getting paid well. Now, these days, I mean, I see my sister, so she's a good example. She does all these gigs here around L.A. with her jazz and, like, funk band or whatever, and they play, like, the whole night, and then they get, like, $50. I mean, my gardener gets more than that, you know?
Wow.
So, that's not something to be frustrated about, but it's something to keep in the back of your head, because a lot of people, you know, see all these big celebrity stars on TV and in the radio and hear about their wealth, but they didn't get wealthier. They didn't get like that overnight or within the last year or couple of years. They've been doing it for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in those days it was easy and well, not easy, but it was possible.
Mm.
And now for a new artist to even break through, I mean, today I actually got a call from Sweden from a producer that heard some of my music and wants me to send them music so I can not co-produce, but maybe they can use my song that I wrote like quite a while ago, when, you know, everybody was still really passionate about music and didn't care about just writing the next hit song. But, you know, you made music for other reasons. You made music to just be excited and have that feeling where the hair stands up on the back of your neck when you hear the song. Now, these days, a lot of people that are in the industry, I'm not talking about me and you when we jam or something. I'm talking about people that are actually sitting in the studio creating music for the masses out there. They sit in the studio and they, you know, calculate it. It's a financial game for them. And he works with some of those people as well, and he's completely turned off by that. But so he is looking for people that actually have song material that's very passionate. And when he was here in Los Angeles and heard my stuff, he got really excited because when I wrote, lately I don't write as many songs. I do more film music, but when I did write songs, up until like a couple, maybe 2-3 years ago, every time I wrote a song, I was not thinking about it being a hit song. I was not thinking about it doing anything. I was actually not even thinking at all, because I was probably, you know, smoked enough weed to like where my brain was completely switched off. But I was just feeling the emotions that I was going through at the moment, and I was trying to put that into a story and into a piece of art. And I just did it for my own satisfaction, for no other reason. Mm-hmm. And these songs are the songs, when people listen to them, that people seem to be interested in most.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep that in mind, you know, like, follow your passion, follow your heart. Don't try to write a hit song. Don't try to be famous. Don't try to make it, because it's not going to happen like that. You just mm-hmm. have to lose yourself in the art, and then if you're lucky, and if it's your time, and if it's your calling, then, you know, you might get lucky and something will actually happen.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's really great information right there. Really great advice. I think, you know, we can all grab something from that. So thank you very much.
Plus, you know, with all this technology and all this, like, cold, like, you know, reality shows, you know, the music that's really popular. I have nothing mm-hmm. against house music, but mm-hmm. it's very cold, and it doesn't really create anything emotional. Unless, I mean, it does create energy, but it's not like, it creates a hype, but there's no energy in it.
Right.
And, I mean, there's energy in it, but there's no emotions in it. Sorry, I'm just having an audio right now on my phone. But I think people are longing again to, like, emotional storytelling, the real art, not only in music, but also in movies. It's the same thing. Most movies these days that are made are all clusters. You know, they are like just a cluster of CGI and special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other day, I tried to watch Transformers #3, and I couldn't make it through the whole movie, even though, you know, Michael Bay and me used to be pretty close. I used to hang out with him quite a bit. And I have respect for the guy, but, you know, especially because I know him personally pretty well, but I literally couldn't sit through the movie. I thought it was just, like, unwatchable. And, you know, the same with some of the music. If I go out to a club, I can't be there for more than half an hour because the entire night sounds just like one song, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I think people, the audience, they don't really know what they like until they get pushed into liking it. Because
mm-hmm.
the same people, I know some people, a lot of people that used to listen to rock music in the 90s. They were totally like into rock, oh yeah, rock, everything, blah, blah, blah. Then in the late 90s, when techno came up, they were like totally into techno. The same people started dressing different, you know, started acting different, started doing different drugs, because that's always like very influential too to the music. It's music, fashion, and drugs always go hand in hand. And then the same people, you know, like a couple of years later, were totally into hip-hop. And that's all they like. Then now the same people, you know, I mean, of course they have aged a little bit, but it's still the same people. All of a sudden now they're completely into house. They don't listen to anything else. So do they really know what they like? Or is it just a trend that they're following? And whatever is, whatever they're like, whatever gets blasted at them, whenever they go out in the club and they just get blasted in their ears all night long, that's what they think they like. That's what they think, oh, this is the cool shit. This is, you know, this is supposed to be cool. This is what I need to listen to. The same with reality shows. If you go to a gym, all you see on the TV is all reality shows, like Kim Kardashian to the left, Paris Hilton to the right, whatever to the left, and then you maybe have one or two sports and a news channel. And, you know, so, of course, people are, you know, like, forced to watch that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then the next thing they think, oh, my God, yeah, if this chick, you know, made a record, Paris Hilton, and she's famous, and then she doesn't really know shit, she doesn't really do anything other than me, she doesn't really have any other talents than I do, of course I can do it too. You know, I'm even prettier than her. So then what they do, they move to L.A. and you know, I want to be famous. I want to be a singer. But it doesn't work like that. Unless you're Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian. But these people were already born rich.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a sex tape, which certainly helped. And that's
right.
No joke.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
it definitely opens some doors.
If you want to be famous, make a sex tape first. Then, when I actually move to LA, make a sex tape, pretend it got stolen. And, well, it's too late for that now, too, because all that erotic stuff is all free on the internet, too, so. There's no, you can't really give anybody advice for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you're an artist or not. That's as simple as that.
Yes, I love it. That word.
And let that be the end of it. All right, my friends of the whatever, what's your show even called?
It's called Life as a Melody.
All right, all my friends of the life, of the what? Life of the Melody?
Life as a Melody.
Okay, my friends of the show of Life as a Melody. It's kind of like a tongue breaker. You guys have a great night or day or morning. Oh, yeah, it's going to be 10 in the morning. Well, I'm going to be asleep at 10 in the morning. You guys go ahead, enjoy your day, and do whatever it is that makes you happy.
All
right. Happy, happy, happy.
Be happy. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Hasta la vista.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Wow. What an excellent interview that was, Tricia.
Thanks. Yeah, we're a little goofy sometimes. Thanks for listening. You know, it was really fun to have him on, and it's always fun talking to him. So,
well, folks, we're going to wrap up the show. It's been really, really something. So, Trisha, you want to tell them how to get in touch with us and give them a preview of what's coming up?
Yes, we'll be here again next Thursday, 10 a.m. If you're on the West Coast, and at 12 noon. Central Time. It's Life as a Melody. Facebook.com/Life as a Melody. And Easy Way Broadcasting. That's Easy WAY Broadcasting. And be sure to check out our YouTube and our Facebook fan page. And just stay tuned for next week. We have more exciting guests coming up.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks for listening to Life as a Melody with Patricia Daniele and Rich Greenwood.
Life as a melody is meant to be played and played loud. The rhythm of life is more harmonious when we tune into what we are all after together. See you next week.